This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's chat a little football right now, and we'll do so with the man that did play on Sunday. His team did suffer a loss to the New England Patriots, and that is a defensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins who played very well in the football game. That's Christian Wilkins, who had six tackles and a sack up against Cam Newton and the Pats. The Dolphins, they head back home, and they will open up their home opener coming up this Sunday up against the Buffalo Bills at 1 p.m. Eastern. And joining us right now is a man that won two national championships at Clemson, was a first-round pick a year ago, and is now partnering up with Capital One as they're launching First Gen Focus, a new national program dedicated to supporting first-year, first-generation college students. And that's the aforementioned Christian Wilkins. Christian, thanks for the time. How you been?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So I followed your college career, and I knew a lot about your success on the football field, but I wasn't all that familiar with your success off the football field, as you were the first Clemson scholarship athlete to graduate in 2.5 years. You earned a bachelor's degree in communication studies, and then I remember you had that big decision after your junior season. Do you go pro, or do you return to the Clemson program? You elected to return. You won another national championship. But you also opened up a door for you as you really started to embrace your passion for the youth as you started to finish your master's degree, and then you eventually served as a substitute teacher during that season. So take me a little bit about what you plan to do with the youth moving forward and going back to that decision and the opportunities that it opened up for you.
Well, yeah, like, so you kind of hit on it. You hit on a lot, you know, and really just for me, like, you know, to your point, you know, yes, I have a great passion for football and I love it more than anything. And I'm extremely passionate for it. And I, you know, I get such a great excitement from playing the game and everything like that. But what I also was able to find my senior year, through teaching, like you said, when I was a substitute teacher, I was able to find my love and passion for mentoring, being a person of influence, just kind of just that passion for helping the youth and, you know, those who are like those who were in a position that I was once in, you know, because for me, role models and, you know, the people you can look up to were always important for me growing up. So I try to be that as much as I can right now, you know, throughout college and even now in the pros. And, you know, just I was able to just really find my passion for, you know, like for the youth and for helping people. And that's why with this, with the First Gen Focus program with Capital One, you know, I'm able to continue to do that even after, you know, even though I'm in the NFL now, it's almost a way to get back. We'll talk more about the First Gen Focus program, but through this program, I'm able to help a lot and give a lot to the youth and everything like that as well. So I'm really excited about the program and everything that they're going as well.
I'm sure when you walked in as a substitute teacher and kids, they look at football players as people that are larger than life, they probably got a real kick out of that, right?
Oh, yeah. No, they love that, honestly. I'll never forget the first time, like, one of the first times I walked into elementary school class, one of the kindergartners was like, whoa, that's one big mister. he's never seen, I guess, a teacher quite as large. With me and I kind of got a kick out of that and hearing him say that, and like, you know, it just was kind of almost more of like positive pressure for me to like kind of take more pride in it and do a great job and just essentially realize the influence I did have, you know, being in that position I was in.
You know, with all that we're going through since March with the pandemic, I'm concerned about a lot of people's mental health, but especially children, because some children may not be able to process and understand what's going on. You having that educational background, right, and also having to go through a lot of pressures just on the field and having to deal with regular human events like all of us as well. Just what do you do, you know, if someone's listening right now to try to get your mental health in the best spot and get the best version of Christian Wilkins possible to the world?
Well, yeah, so that's good. Like, so I know, you know, a lot of what's been going on, and even, you know, back in March, like now I'm a little busier because the season's underway, so I got to, you know, I'm able to kind of get out, go to the facility every day and practice and be around my teammates and stuff. But during that time where I wasn't able to be around people, it gave me a great opportunity to connect with a lot of people I haven't reached out to in a while or spoken with. So I was able to still build great relationships with people and, you know, and also find time to work on myself and focus on myself, do things that I, you know, found pleasure in, whether that was working out, exercising, reading, finding a new hobby. So that's something I will encourage, you know, a lot of people to do. I feel like through all of this going on right now in the world, it's like you really have a great opportunity to find out a lot about yourself and things you like to do and things you're passionate about, you know, and, you know, it's kind of just a time to, you know, just try something new too. You got a lot of time on your hands and you're not really going out, or you're not supposed to be going out or anything like that. So it was just a great opportunity for me to, you know, find out a lot about myself.
What was something new that you tried that you ended up enjoying during all this?
Well, really, I really read a lot more books, a lot of books about just sports books, autobiographies, books about finances and things like that. So I was able to read more than I was really ever able to because of my schedule and things like that. So I was able to, you know, just learn a lot more.
Christian Wilkins here with us on the Zach Gilb Show. We'll get back to Capital One and this great new program coming up in a few minutes. You had a heck of a performance to start off your season. I know you wanted the victory as a team, but six tackles and a sack up against the Pats, especially in a homecoming for you growing up in the Massachusetts area. What did you take from your individual performance on Sunday, Christian?
Yeah, the individual stats and performances and, you know, all that stuff is great, but, you know, I ultimately want to win at the end of the day. That's the most important thing to me. But, you know, it was definitely encouraging, and, you know, it was nice to be able to start the season the way I did individually, you know, just kind of getting something to work towards and, you know, just give me a little bit more confidence going into the rest of the season. Hopefully, you know, moving forward, we can get a lot more wins. You know, get the results we want, because that's really the most important thing to me.
You got a lot of young players on this roster. You have a young coach too, and a lot of people were surprised with the amount of wins that you guys got last year, because people thought you'd be a shoo-in for the first overall pick in the draft. And I'm just curious, with your coach Brian Flores, and I've got to know him a little bit, but you know him obviously a lot better than I do. Just what are the things that really stand out to you? How do you describe playing for Coach Brian Flores?
I love playing for Coach Flo. He's a extremely humble but motivated individual who cares a lot about his teammates. I mean, cares a lot about his players on and off the field. And he's got a lot of respect for him because he comes every day with the same attitude, the same mindset. He's got a lot to prove. And, you know, it's extremely humbling, you know, to be around a guy like that who, even with the success he's had, you know, at various different points in his life and in his career, you know, he still feels like he has everything to prove each and every day. So you kind of take on the personality of your coach a little bit in that instance.
I know Fitz is the quarterback for now, but everyone's wondering when we're going to see Tua on the field. How has Tua been looking in practice?
No, I think, you know, the thing I respect the most about Tua is that his willingness to work and, you know, just his want to. He's got a lot of drive, you know, so it's great to see. You know, just a young guy like that come in and just work the way he does in practice, meetings, and just around the facility every day. It's great to see, for sure.
Did you bring up the national championship game to him yet? You talk a little Alabama-Clemson?
I mean, that national championship game speaks for itself. I don't need to do any really much talking or anything like that to go up about that. You know, I kind of just let him live. I mean, you know, it is what it is at this point.
What's the last in memory? When you look back at that season, the second national championship for you, coming on back, the defensive line was awesome. When you look back at it a few years removed, what still stands out to this day?
Really just like what we were able to do, like the first ever 15-0 team, like those great accomplishments that we had and things we were able to do, you know, as a team was just really special, things that were never done before. And it wasn't just, you know, the what we were able to accomplish, but it was who I was able to accomplish those things with. I just had a lot of great teammates and people around me who made that journey so special.
Christian Wilkins, you played with a lot of great quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence and also Deshaun Watson. But what made both of those two quarterbacks so special?
Really, just for, like, they both had the intangibles. They both worked extremely hard. They both loved what they were and were passionate about what they were doing. And they both worked extremely hard at their crafts. And just fiery competitors, too. Like, the most humble people, you know, day to day, like, you know, never bigger than anybody. But when it came to, you know, when it came to getting the job done on the field, they were just super competitive, and they had that edge, and a lot, and they both had that it factor that was, well, pretty cool to experience, and it's pretty cool to, you know, just have, kind of have a front row seat to.
Your favorite memory of Coach Dabo Swinney with your time with him?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I got a lot of good memories with Coach. His mentorship and his leadership, and, you know, just kind of just who he was as a guy. I got a lot of respect for Coach.
Yeah, it's amazing the program that he built there, because a few years ago, no one even knew who Dabo Swinney was, and he's done a great job building up that program.
Right.
When you first met him, what was that first thought? What was that first impression, Christian Wilkins?
No, I had a great first impression of the Coach. You know, I went down to South Carolina, went down to Clemson to meet him, and he just had a lot of energy, a lot of passion for what he was doing, a lot of passion for creating and developing young men, you know, turning young men into grown men, you know. So, you know, I just had a lot of love for him, respect for him from day one, just kind of because I knew he cared about me, you know, not just as a player who could do something for him, but also as a young man.
Christian Wilkins, you grew up in Springfield, Massachusetts. Did you grow up as a Patriot fan, just wondering?
I did, actually, yes. I was a big Patriot fan growing up.
But was that bizarre on Sunday? I know it's a business. I know you're a professional. I know you're paid to hit the quarterback. But was it bizarre knowing the area and not seeing Brady under center for the Pats on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's still kind of new to everybody. It's so different. You get used to something for the last 20 years. And all of a sudden it changes. It's like, what the heck? You know, it's a little different. So I feel like, you know, it is a little funny seeing a different guy, a quarterback for them.
Well, you and the new quarterback got off to a new start, Christian Wilkins. What happened with you and Cam after the game?
Oh, me and Cam, we best friends. You know, just a lot of things happened throughout the course of the game. Just a lot of, you know, emotion and just energy. It's the first game of the year, things like that. So, I mean, you know, still things are going to happen throughout the course of the game or at the end of the game. But I'm not, you know, that's in the past now. I'm focused on this next coming week.
Did you get one of his chains? I heard there was some chain snatching after the game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm just focused on, you know, this next coming week. I'm like, anything that happened after the game, I'm not. You know, it's in the past with me.
You got it, Christian Wilkins. Just one more on this, and I respect the answer, but I just have to ask it. Afterwards, I saw a quote from Cam where he basically said, I realized I was talking to a person just known for doing splits. You know, is there any response there, or is it just all in the past, like you said?
No response. It's all in the past. I got nothing to say about that.
All right, fair enough. When we get to the opponent coming up on Sunday, the Buffalo Bills, in your preparation, what stands out to you about this Buffalo Bills team?
Well, they got a lot of weapons. You know, looking at them from an offensive standpoint, you know, they got a good quarterback, good receivers, a talented offensive line, good running backs. They've just done a great challenge for us. We just got to have a great week of practice, you know, in order, you know, we got to have a great week of practice in order to get the result we want. And so I'm excited for the challenge. I'm looking forward to this week.
I think there'll be some fans in that stadium, your home stadium, Hard Rock, coming up on Sunday. There was no fans last weekend. That's going to be a thing all around the league this year. Some fans, some stadiums will have fans, some won't. Was it bizarre for you being on that field, you know, playing in some of the environments you've had in your career, not seeing any fans in Gillette on Sunday?
Yeah, it was a completely different experience. You know, it was so quiet, you know, just coming out, running onto the field, everything like that, just like kind of the same, like it was just a different excitement. You know, you kind of had to create your own energy a lot more and things like that. You weren't able to feed off of a crowd and, you know, just kind of, you know, go off like, feed off of their energy and anything like that. So it was a completely different experience. But it's still a game at the end of the day, so I was still able to have fun and, get my job done and do what I needed to do.
It was so refreshing seeing football on Sunday, I'll tell you. With all that we've been through since March, it was nice to get some normalcy back. You being, on the field, you also being in the practice facility, how do you think the NFL protocols are working right now? Do you feel safe?
Oh, no, I think they're pretty good, Mike. And I feel like it's a responsibility of the NFL and the NFLPA, but also the players. You know, everyone's got to get a role in this, so we got to be professional. And I feel like guys have been doing that. We've been doing a great job of, kind of taking care of ourselves, holding each other accountable, doing everything we can to make sure that we can play, a full season.
Last one for Christian Wilkins, who's been great on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Really been enjoying his story. So to circle back where we started the conversation with Capital One, they're launching the First Gen Focus, a new national program dedicated to supporting first-year, first-generation college students. The floor is yours, my friend. Tell me everything we need to know.
Yeah, so you kind of hit on it. I'm just extremely excited about my opportunity that I have to partner with Capital One in this First Gen Focus program. I just think so the whole purpose behind this is getting first-generation, first-year college students, in this program and teaching them about career, finance, and personal wellness and things like along with other things. And it's just a great opportunity for me, who was a first-generation, college student and a mentor and a teacher to continue to use my platform and continue to do what I'm passionate about, and that's mentoring and being there and, helping my peers. And I'm through this program, I'm able to do that, along with, these first-generation college students being able to learn a lot about finances, financial literacy, money management strategies. And I'm, essentially going to be able to teach them a lot of the things that made me successful at doing that throughout college. I was very successful at, my money management strategies and things like that. And it's kind of just using what it's allowed me, just using a lot of my knowledge and the things I'm passionate about to be able to help my peers. And I'm really excited about it. I think it's a great program. And, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to have a great time with it.
Well, Christian, I've enjoyed the chat. Good luck both on and off the field. Stay healthy. Good luck to you. And thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Appreciate Christian Wilkins joining us right there. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break, and when we come on back, we update you on all the biggest stories in the world of sports with a little audio. It's a segment, you may have heard of it. We call it the News Brief. We do that next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. Big Ben returned to the field in style on Monday night as the Steelers defeated the Giants 26-16. Big Ben threw for not one, not two, but three touchdowns in his first game since injuring his elbow back in week two of the 2019 season. The Player of the Week was sponsored by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. Boston 80, Miami 71. This game has been the complete definition of a seesaw ride, where Boston was like up 8, then they were down by 5, then a game got tied, and now you see the Celtics as we're closing in on the end of the third quarter, getting ready to start the fourth, 18.6 seconds remaining in the third. Boston up 80-71. So you got that game won in the Eastern Conference Finals. You then got game number 5 in the Stanley Cup Final. You already have the Dallas Stars advancing to the Stanley Cup Final. But in the Eastern Conference Finals, in the NHL playoffs, you do see the Islanders in this series down 3-1. And in this game 5, 12 minutes to go in the first, it's all tied up at 0-0, so no scoring there so far. And we do have a Game 7 tonight in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard with the Los Angeles Clippers going up against Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. That game is scheduled to tip off at 9 p.m. Eastern. I'll give you a little prediction on that later on in the show. But first up, let's update you on all the biggest headlines and quotes in the world of sports, a little segment that we like to call the News Brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, we just told you about Big Ben making his triumphant return, even though they lost James Conner, and now it looks like Benny Snell's going to get the majority of the reps. Benny Snell had over 100 yards last night. Defense played well for the Steelers. The biggest story, though, was Big Ben coming back and tossing three touchdown passes, two to Juju Smith-Schuster. Let's hear from Big Ben after the game on having nerves, actually, in his first game back.
There obviously were a little bit of jitters. I was excited, nervous to be out there. Just wanted to not let my guys down. You know, that was the biggest thing. And as for Mason warming up, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I didn't know that he was.
So there was that shot where you thought maybe Ben was hurt with whatever that contraption was on his arm during the game. And you're thinking, is he going to be able to get through an entire season? Well, he better, because if the Steelers have to go to Mason Rudolph, yeah, we saw what happened last year. They don't make the playoffs. They go 8-8. That defense is awesome. It is fantastic, that defense. You need Ben there, because Ben, even at 75% of his health, is 1,000 times better than one Mason Rudolph. Here's the jitters before the game for Ben. Just shows you, even though you're 38, even though you already have your spot, your bus reserved in Canton, Ohio in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and you've already won two Super Bowl trophies and you got two fat rings on your finger, you start to talk about retirement and then you try to find things that motivate you to play a little bit longer. That was them drafting Mason Rudolph. This injury, though, I really think motivated Ben to go play another 2-3 years. I don't know if he'll be able to play another 2-3 years, but it does motivate him. Because football is taken away from you for a year, and when it gets taken away, I'm not saying Ben takes it for granted, but when any time something is taken away from you, you want to try to get it back and find a new purpose. So it just shows you Ben had a little jitters, because I'm not saying he felt like a rookie again. He hasn't played, though, in a long time. We go from Big Ben. We stay inside the Steelers organization, as they say, if we were a hockey team organization. Here is Mike Tomlin talking about how nice it is to have his QB1 back under center.
It's good to work on things, though, with a W. And so we're appreciative of that. We're appreciative of the effort. It's awesome to have our quarterback back and see him do the things that he does and in the manner in which he does it.
And they still got to figure some things out offensively. And I think that James Conner storyline, whenever he gets healthy, especially if Benny Snell does play well, is going to be a big storyline this year. And offensively, wide receivers, I still don't know what they got. Juju, to me, I know he's a one, but he seems like more like a two. Claypool had a nice reception last night. So it's a work in progress. The thing, though, when you watch the Steelers, that is so obvious, it's the defense. That defense, we thought it was good last year. I think they're going to get even better this year. With all the names that you have, Hayden and Fitzpatrick and Watt and Bush, Cam Hayward had a pick last night. Watt had a pick last night. They did a very nice job defensively. And how about Saquon Barkley? Did Saquon Barkley even finish with 10 yards in the game last night? I forget exactly what he had, but the number was so low. It was stunning. Barkley last night, 15 carries. Trace, 6 yards for your guy Saquon Barkley out of Penn State. Had 6 receptions for 60 yards. I said this before, I'll say it again. No, this is not a Saquon Barkley's overrated take. It's not. Guy's a damn good football player. The Giants are just, see, the prime of a running back's career, we don't know how long it will last, and it's so important. The Giants are wasting that right now because they have a garbage team. The quarterback, there's still going to be growing pains. The offensive line is still really bad. Will Hernandez is not as good as they thought. They don't have Nate Solder this year. Thomas, I don't know what to expect in his rookie year. It's going to be another bad year for the Giants. Maybe at most 4 or 5 wins. We go from Mike Tomlin. He did a nice job last night, to a guy that didn't do a nice job last night. This is Vic Fangio, who does coach the Denver Broncos. And Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur, this is a night you like to forget. A game that was very winnable. A game that you should have won. Noah Fant was spectacular in the first half, and then Shurmur, oh, I'm not going to throw him the football in the second half. They targeted him one time in the second half, and Fangio late. I don't get the decision-making. I really don't. So Shurmur's your offensive coordinator. He's calling the plays. You get the ball back. I know you're only up by two. You go pass, run, pass. Minute 01, that's all you took off the clock late. And then the most egregious thing is late in the game, you're under a minute. I know Gostkowski couldn't kick a field goal to save his life, but he was going to hit a chip shot. And Fangio was just waiting and waiting and waiting and taking his timeouts home. When you get to 45 seconds, it was exactly 41. They don't call a timeout, and then Vrabel comes on in at like 30, 29 seconds and calls a timeout. Call that right away. You have a good defense. Keep Tennessee out of the end zone. Force them to hit a field goal. If they hit it, at least you get some time back instead of what? Like 15 seconds that they had. Here is Vic Fangio, who is on my Odell Beckham poop list right now. Not the way that that sounded, but I can't say a certain word on the radio, so you get what I'm saying. But here is Vic Fangio on why he didn't use his timeouts late.
Well, it was twofold there. One, their field goal kicker had obviously been having his problems, so I didn't want to extend the drive to where they could get closer, number one. And number two, you know, we would have used the timeout, but we got the running back out of bounds. We would have used the second timeout, but they threw an incompletion, you know, which would have given us one left when we got the ball back. So that was part of the thinking there.
Remember that scene from Billy Madison where he gives that answer and then the professor comes on in and says, like, we're all dumber for listening to that and we won't ever get that time back. That's how I feel listening to that Vic Fangio explanation. Very simple. Don't tell me that the running back went out of bounds. You still wasted 20-something seconds. You made a bad decision, should be the first words out of your mouth. We'll be better the next time we're in that situation. I should have taken the timeout. You didn't. Instead, you thought the timeouts roll over to the next game. Hey, ugly, ugly, ugly. Let's go to Sean McVay. The NFL sent a memo out today telling coaches, wear your mask. Sean McVay believes the NFL memo on face covering was directed at him.
I figured that memo was directed at me. I got to do a better job about that. And so, moving forward, there will be a conscious effort to do that.
He is so John Gruden light. Every time you hear him speak, I hear a younger John Gruden. So some people are saying, well, why do you have to wear a mask? Everyone's tested and they're negative if they're on the field. Yeah, there is a chance, though, that you test, you're negative, then you go home, you come back, you're not in the bubble, that you may have it. There could always be a test that comes back negative, and it could be a false test, and you may be positive. So, you know, some of it's probably an optics part of it as well, that you want to show people that, hey, let's social distance, let's wear masks. There's some things you can't avoid in football. You're going to have coaches when they're yelling, their mask is going to fall down. Now, it's up to those coaches to put the mask back up. That's what the NFL wants. I don't have a big problem with it. So how about this one? Here's the Nebraska president, Ted Carter. He was caught on a hot mic saying to Bob Hinson of the National Strategic Research Institute that Nebraska is planning to announce Husker football later today, that it was coming back, this courtesy of KETV.
Well, we're getting ready to announce Husker Big Ten football tonight.
Oh, really? I heard that that was happening. I didn't, I think there's a lot of anticipation about that. Good for you. Maybe that'll get off your plate.
Well, it never will, but it's a good move in the right direction.
This is so Big Ten. And you can't tell me that was an innocent mistake and the microphone was just on. They intentionally did that. The Big Ten, I don't get them. I really don't. Early August, here's the schedule. A few days later, we're not going to play. Then less than a month later, all right, we're thinking about playing Thanksgiving. Maybe it's January 1. Now we may have the sport back in October. Make up a decision already. Like, make a decision. You already made a decision. You didn't want to play. And now the only reason you're trying to get this back now is because you're fearful that the other three Power 5 conferences are going to get through a season. Pete Thamel had this out about 2 hours ago. No official word yet, since we haven't heard an announcement with that video going out, about Big Ten restart has trickled down to Big Ten coaches. Many programs have been proceeding and planning the past few days for an October 17th start pending the upcoming vote and decision. There remains a lot of hope and optimism, but no official green light yet. This is all chaos. And yesterday we were even talking about this. There was that one report even if they vote yes, Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland may not play, and then there was another report on the contrary. No, all the Big Ten schools are going to play. Let me know what's going to happen. And if you're going to play, make sure you play in October like that report may have suggested, because then you could be in the college football playoff picture. And then finally, let's hear from maybe my favorite coach in college football.
Go Tigers.
A little Ed Orgeron talking about how most LSU players have contracted the virus already.
Not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it. So I think that hopefully they don't catch it again, and hopefully they're out for games, you know. It's been a process, you know, and I'm not going to say all of them, but, you know, some players have caught it, and I don't know the percentage, but hopefully that once you catch it, you don't get it again. Now, I'm not a doctor, you know what I'm saying? I think they got that 90-day window, so most of the players that have caught it, we feel that they're going to be eligible for games. So we look at the players that have caught it, and we say, okay, this guy should be eligible for game. We look at the players that haven't caught it. We talk to them about being very, very careful, so they're eligible for games. But we know that the players that haven't caught it, we have to have some backups in their position ready in case they catch it.
What an extensive answer for something that's so easy. Orgeron.
You know, I don't think, you know, I'm not going to say all of our players got it, but some of our players got it. And hopefully they don't catch it again. But if anyone does, then we got to get this player up and ready to go, because we got to get some gumbo. We got to get another national championship. And we got to defeat this coronavirus. And guess what? Go Tigers.
Ed Orgeron. I could listen to him talk about the virus. Imagine if he does like presidential addresses. Trump invites him out there. You know, it's my good friend, Ed Orgeron. You know, very smart man, okay? He's a very smart man. And we have Ed Orgeron addressing us, replacing Dr. Fauci, giving us all the updates on the coronavirus. That's the News Brief, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We take a break. We'll come on back. I'll give you a little prediction on Game 7 tonight between the Clippers and the Nuggets.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Hopefully we have a good finish between the Celtics and the Heat, 92-85. Celtics up on the Heat with 7.5 to play in this fourth quarter. Islanders, Pulock scored a power play goal, so it's 1-0. Islanders up in front at the end of the first period in an elimination game for the Islanders against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Stars are already through. They're in the Stanley Cup final, and we will have to wait and see if it will be Tampa tonight, or will Tampa have to wait another day? I don't see how the Islanders come back and win this series. I don't think that will be the case. So I do believe that. I thought Tampa's going to win tonight. I'll still stick with it. I know it's only at the end of the first period. I like Boston to get to the NBA Finals. So I think it would be very good for the league. I know both storylines are good with Miami and Boston. Boston getting back to the NBA Finals, I think, is better for the league because of just the stardom of the youngster of Jason Tatum. And Jaylen Brown is a very underrated player. You got Kemba Walker there as well. There's just bigger names with the Celtics than the Heat. Yes, Jimmy Butler's a big name. Yes, Bam Adebayo's a good player, but I don't think he resonates that much nationally. And at the Celtics, I don't know when they're going to get Gordon Hayward back, but if they get Gordon Hayward back, now, that's a team I'd rather see in the finals. Now, I don't think, you know, I'm not going to say it's impossible. And I'm not going to say that it's not going to happen, just because in this year there's so many crazy things that happen. And I guess anything truly could happen. I would be surprised, though, if the winner of the West, whether that's the Lakers, whether that's the Clippers, or maybe it's the Denver Nuggets, which that I don't think will happen. I would be surprised if, assuming it's Lakers and Clippers, if whoever wins that doesn't win the NBA Finals. I would be surprised on that front. But if the Celtics do get to the finals and win it, the two biggest takeaways would be Brad Stevens getting a championship, especially with what he did at college at Butler, taking those two teams to the championship game, losing to Duke and losing to UConn. Him making that transition, he's done a good job in the NBA so far. If he could get to the finals, that would be something. If he wins the finals, that's another step, obviously. And then Jason Tatum, man, oh, man. If you are Philadelphia, and just seeing Tatum have this much success, but if he gets to the finals, and you not only did you pass up on him, you traded up to get him, And then Boston fell back to three. You had Lonzo Ball sandwich in between before Tatum did go at three. If you are a Sixer fan, you know, even if he doesn't get to the finals, you're already probably pulling your hair out because you got Markelle Fultz, and now Markelle Fultz is no longer there. So you could have had Simmons, Embiid, and Tatum. Now, that would have been a good team. That would have been a good team. And I know Philadelphia, they're still trying to figure out who their next head coach is going to be. And maybe they're going to be interested in D'Antoni. I don't think D'Antoni would be a fit. He didn't have the shooting in Houston. He doesn't have the shooting in Philadelphia. I get why if you're D'Antoni, you want to go there. It's not a bad job to take. And here's another part of this, too. Trace, I don't know if you feel this way. Isn't it funny that they are phrasing it as D'Antoni walked away from the Rockets? Your contract was up. You could have watched no basketball this year. My grandmother could have watched no basketball and told you that Mike D'Antoni wasn't coming back. And D'Antoni releases this statement as if he walked away from the organization? No. The organization was going to fire you, so you want it to look good from a PR standpoint. And you go, I don't want it to be that my contract wasn't renewed and I wasn't fired, so I'm walking away on my own terms. It would be as if Jason Garrett, last year with the Cowboys, everyone in America, everyone outside of America, knew that Jason Garrett was getting fired by the Dallas Cowboys. His contract wasn't going to get renewed. So I don't think Garrett did this because I remember the announcement coming down during the Eagles game. But imagine if Jason Garrett wrote a note. I love my time with the Dallas Cowboys, but now I'm walking away from the organization with my head held high, and I'm looking for the new chapter, the next venture in my career. That's what D'Antoni did. So is that smart? Is that stupid by D'Antoni? Because I look at that, and I just think it's a load of crap, Trace.
What? It's like he's trying to win the breakup. Like, you know, you know she's going to break up with you. You know it, so you get out ahead of it. Oh, I broke up with her. You know, it wasn't her choice. Right. It was me. I walked away. It's not you. It's me. I'm out of here. And that's right.
You're exactly right. He's trying to win the breakup. And I bet you tonight he's at home with like a rubber ducky in his bathtub, some steak, you know, on the grill, and he's crying with a glass of wine. I don't have a job anymore. I'm not the coach of the Houston Rockets anymore. Where am I going to go next? That is the perfect analogy that you threw out there. You know, you're dating something that's good, not great, because the Rockets aren't great. And you see there are some road bumps in the relationship, and this marriage is not sustainable. So until you're getting your heart broken, so you're not the person that's standing outside with the boombox screaming, baby, come back, you're going to tell her to get out, and that's what he said to the Rockets. He said, you get out of my house. We're done. It's over. It's through. And then he still goes home and cries because he probably didn't want this relationship to end, but he knew that the relationship was coming to a close. So, hey, that's where we're at right now with some of the NBA stuff. And then you got this Game 7 tonight. You like the Clippers or you like the Nuggets? I like the Clippers. I have a thought on the game and the two people that have the most pressure on in the game, but who do you like, Trace?
I'm with you. I'm going the Clippers. This may be just a complete overlook of this team, but I almost feel like they just don't care. Like that, the Clippers wise, like they should have closed this series out. When they actually care and want to play, they are to me the best team in the NBA. And I don't know whether it's just the malaise of the bubble just getting to them, but they're up 3-1. To me, these last two games, they look like they just couldn't care less. Game 7 now is like, okay, we got to focus. I expect the Clippers to win tonight.
Yeah, I think the line is 7.5. I don't know if they cover that, but I would not touch that line. But if you made me touch that line, I would probably say they cover the 7.5 points tonight. Just the way that they've lost the last two games, you're up a fortune, an absolute fortune, and you can't close it out. I'm with you. Like, I look at that team, and this is why I don't think they're going to win the championship, because I question their drive. There's some games where it shouldn't be this tough, and they make it tougher than it is. So that's problematic. 3-1, though, if Denver's able to come back and win this series, go back-to-back, beating the Clippers on its own is an accomplishment, but doing that in back-to-back series against the Jazz and then up against the Clippers, that would really be something. However, if the Clippers are to lose, the two biggest talking points tomorrow, and you know maybe Paul George is in the equation, but I'm going to leave him out of it. It's Kawhi Leonard. And then it's also Doc Rivers. Because Doc's another one. Great coach, great coach, great coach. Great coach this year at least gets that team to the Western Conference Finals. And I like Doc Rivers. I like what Doc Rivers is about. Did a really good job in Boston. When you look at it, though, with this team, if you tell me you lose to the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals, I won't get all over you. If you lose to the Nuggets, yeah, that's embarrassing. And then for Kawhi, this is really the first time in his career where this is a big-time pressure situation. And I know that sounds crazy because the guy has been a two-time NBA Finals MVP, but it wasn't expected out of him when he was with the Spurs to win that Finals MVP. And when he got traded to Toronto, it wasn't expected that he was to win the championship that year. You know, this year he's expected to win it all. He's expected to go all the way. He's at least expected to get to the Western Conference Finals. And if you don't even get there, even with how great Kawhi is and how much I like Kawhi and how much I praise Kawhi over the last few years, that's a bad look. So, yeah, part of me says that I'm with you, Trace. They're focused. They've had two collapses in back-to-back games, but this time I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit different. I hope, though, that this is a close game. I really hope it's a close game. I want to see how the Clippers respond to pressure. Something tells me, though, they win probably by 8-10 points. That's what I'll go with. Do a little pressure talk next in the NFL for week two.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.